This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I'm your host for the first hour. Now, in this first hour, we will address a little bit of the geopolitical moves that have, well, drastically moved some of these markets, either up or down, and faded pretty quickly when it comes to precious metals. But I do want to focus on the bigger picture and the longer-term trends that I think are more important, and I think a lot of our listeners know just how much I dislike talking about geopolitics when it comes to markets because of how short-term these moves are. I am kicking off the show with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. Now, Mike, I have to say, chatting with you throughout 2019, you very much impressed me with how you would stick to your guns in terms of overall strategy when it comes to the markets and how to manage a portfolio when you continued to see U.S. markets move higher last year, but also the safer assets also join in on that rally throughout pretty much all of last year. I do have to ask you, though, throughout the last about week and a half, the U.S. equity markets, even though when we had these high tensions between the Middle East or Iran and the U.S., the U.S. equity markets didn't drastically sell off. They seemed to garner a buy throughout the day, that buy-the-dip mentality. What's your takeaway from the reaction on the back of the geopolitical issues, and now it seems like the settling down of these issues?
Sure. I think that when it comes to geopolitics, I mean, it's so hard to, unless you're a very, very short-term trader, you're looking to, you know, trade S&P futures on an intraday basis, or you're looking to try and profit an intraday move on bonds and gold and so on. I mean, a lot of times you have to kind of stick your fingers in your ear and try and ignore this for what's going on in terms of market impact. Obviously, this has, you know, the tensions with Iran, this has significant impacts in terms of our real lives, our country as a whole, the world as a whole, for that matter. But when it comes to just trying to zero in on the market impact, which is sort of what I'm trying to do here and trying to do in my job, it's hard to get too bearish or too bullish on any one announcement. I mean, you know, missiles fly and the market and the stock futures dump. I think it was down almost 400 points in the Dow at one point. Then Donald Trump comes out and tries to say some conciliatory remarks, and Iran makes some noises about maybe that's going to be it. And then all of a sudden, from their lows, Dow futures are up 500 points. This is the kind of stuff that, again, if you're a very active intraday type person, you know, great, that's your thing, and have at it. But when it comes to the longer-term issues, I think geopolitics really should take a sort of a backseat to what's going on in the economic arena, what's going on in the interest rate environment, what's going on in terms of what investors need and want in this market. And let's be honest, what they need and want are, you know, desperately so, and I've been hearing it at all the presentations and seminars and events that I go to, they're looking for income, they're looking for yield, they're looking for something that can sort of generate sustainable, reliable income in a very low rate interest rate world, and especially in the light of the last three Fed interest rate cuts, regardless of what that's meant for maybe supporting housing a little bit or, you know, lowering the carrying cost of credit card debt. It also is driven down, again, bond yields. It's driven down, you know, CD rates. It's driven down money market rates and so on. So it's kind of putting the squeeze even more on people in terms of what they need most, which is income. So I think that's why you've seen, even in a market where, you know, from probably the November timeframe of 2019 through the early moments of this geopolitical crisis or event most recently, you saw a very strong move in the market overall. But what was leading, you know, what continues to do very well, hold up very well, continues to perform, it's that safe money stuff. It's, you know, utilities, REITs, it's anything that generates reliable income in this market. And, you know, I kind of went back and looked at two-year returns just to look at whether that still holds up. And remarkably, if you look at two-year total returns and you just go down the line by sector ETF, I mean, tech is sort of the one outlier. They're a low yield sector that's just benefiting from a lot of the excitement about what I consider to tend to be an overloved sector, but what have you. It's done very well, something like 35% total return in the last 2 years. But what's right behind that? Utilities at 31%. What's right behind that? Gold miners at 27%. What's right behind that? REITs at about 25%. So you're seeing, if you go down the list of what's performed over the longer term, you know, since we kind of entered this environment in early 2018, it's been that safe, defensive, yield-oriented stuff. And I think that just speaks to people's ongoing concerns. You know, they think the economy is okay, but they're still maybe in the back of their minds worried about recession. They want that income in a low-rate world, and they want some, you know, in a market where a lot of assets are overvalued, by buying the safer stuff, you're at least hopefully giving yourself a little bit of a cushion. If this market does go pear-shaped, what are you probably going to lose the least on? The safer type stocks and sectors. So I think that continues to be the place you want to emphasize. It's something that I've been doing in the Safe Money Report throughout, and I don't see that changing here.
And that's one of the trends that you and I have been talking about. But I think there is a balance here, too. As much as investors are looking for yield and income, you even said it, they're also looking for safe assets. And that's why gold's been doing well, because gold doesn't pay any sort of yield or income, but it can be looked at as one of those underappreciated sectors. What do you think, though, about gold's role in all that, besides just being kind of that safety net that investors seem to be using?
Sure. You know, gold and silver, they're going to get whipsawed around by these geopolitical developments in the very short term. And that's clearly what we've seen this week. Earlier this week, there was, what, a $50 or almost $60 intraday range from high to low in gold, depending on the conflicting headlines coming out of the Middle East and out of Washington and so on. But when you step back and look at this longer-term move, this longer-term bull market that, in my opinion, really started to get underway in the summer of 2018, the forces that have been driving it and continue to drive it, in my opinion, aren't going away. You've still got very low interest rates here, deeply negative interest rates abroad. That's a plus. You've got some rising volatility behind the scenes, a few tremors here and there, and things like higher risk corners of the bond market. You still have concern about recession risk. That sort of boosts demand for chaos insurance. Supply and demand, I mean, you look at what central banks in particular are doing. There are a lot more diversification into gold as a reserve asset now, a lot more buying into gold and out of things like U.S. government bonds. And really, again, in a market that is swimming in overvalued assets, whether you're talking about commercial real estate to some degree, whether you're talking about stocks, bonds, and so on and so forth, gold really continues to shine as one of the few undervalued assets in this ocean full of overvalued ones. So, you know, by virtue of not doing anything really for about a 6-year period, just kind of chopping sideways while the rest of the market took off to the upside, gold is very attractive. There's a lot of catch-up opportunity here. And I would add, if you look at something like the price of gold relative to what gold miners and so on have done, gold itself is what? I think about 19-20% below its all-time peak from 2011. But some of these miners are trading for 40-50% or more below those equivalent levels. You'd have to see many of these mining stocks double or triple just to get back to where they were when gold was at its peak. So I think if you see the metal itself continuing to be in this bull trend, I think there's still sort of disbelief on Wall Street and Main Street that these kinds of companies are a great long-term play. They're starting to buy them, but they're not buying them in huge numbers. There's not a huge amount of money that has already flowed into the sector. But you can bet that there will be over time if the underlying metals continue to do what I expect. So I think if you're looking to be invested in the sector, looking for a longer-term bull trend that's worth playing, it's in a lot of these mining shares, particularly even juniors, that have begun to move but are nowhere near the kinds of moves we saw and nowhere near the kinds of levels we saw the last time gold was heading up towards the direction that it's doing now.
All right, Mike, we're going to wrap it up there. It's great having you on the show. Very interesting comments, and I think very encouraging for the metals investor, but also something to understand is that there is this general move into kind of safe assets, and that has been ongoing, even as we see more of the risk on equities and U.S. broad equity markets continue to move higher. It's quite the amount of money that seems to be available for financial assets in general. Hey, Mike, great chatting with you. Thanks for joining us this weekend. I look forward to chatting with you throughout 2020. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Hey, sounds good. You too.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery, and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Help! Seriously, I'm too young for hair loss.
My hairline keeps creeping back. Receding?
I got this bald spot. It's thinning everywhere.
I'm gonna have to give up and shave it.
Dude, put down the razor, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is about to give you your real hair back permanently. Don't ignore the signs of hair loss. Bosley is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals all the signs and a free gift card to anyone who texts KIT 88 to 85850. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text KIT 88 to 85850. KIT 88 to 85850.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are going to continue our focus on more or less the broad markets with a good friend of the show, Dana Lyons. He is a fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, first and foremost, regarding the U.S. equity markets, you have developed an internal risk model that, from my understanding, deals a lot with breadth and sentiment for the underlying stock market, and you use this to trade off, have a general strategy as to how you're playing these markets. Before we get into what this risk model is telling you, can you explain to us a little bit more what plays a role in that risk model, please?
Yeah, sure, Corey. It's basically the genesis was in the 1970s. A lot of the tape reading newsletters from back then focus a lot on breadth indicators, internal measures, that type of thing. The goal is to pretty much determine, since roughly 70-80% of the direction of a single stock is directed by the direction of the overall market, we basically want to figure out first and foremost which direction the overall market is headed, up or down. So majority of the indicators and quantitative measures that make up the model pertain at least in part to breadth and internal measures of the market. So by and large, it is geared towards telling us, directing us whether the overall market is headed up or down, so we can position accordingly. You know, be substantially aggressive when the model is positive, and get a lot more defensive, pulling our horns, raise cash, sometimes short when the model is negative and indicating the majority of stocks are heading lower.
Okay, so to even follow up on that first segment when I was talking with Mike Larson and the whole concept of the buy the dip for U.S. equities that was even shown during those geopolitical tension moments in the last week and a half, what's your model telling you? Is it also a buy the dip mentality that you have?
It has been for most of the last 12 months. We've been pretty aggressively buying the dips, as you and I have spoken about, really for most of the last year. Fourth quarter, probably things accelerated to the upside, whereas for a while there, it was mostly the large caps leading the way. In the fourth quarter, we got an acceleration of the upside in breadth. All of our indicators within our risk model were really cooking to the upside. We saw small caps, the broad market measures start participating. Right? We've seen a lot of rotation, like different sectors participating now, taking the lead, not just technology and the large caps and whatnot. So we saw a really good run in the fourth quarter. It was basically perfect best case scenario there for bulls in the fourth quarter. Starting to see maybe a little at least weakening of that momentum, a little bit of softness in some of the indicators, so not enough to it's not at risk of turning negative yet, but at least for the first time in a while, it's not, you know, an all clear signal right now. We're not going to be as aggressive in buying everything along the spectrum, at least at buying the dip in everything. So, and we'll probably pull our horns in a little bit as some areas of the market get extended based on some of our Fibonacci measures. So, for the first time, probably in, you know, about 4 months or so, not as wildly bullish as we were for most of the last, you know, 3-4 months.
I think that's fair, mostly because you look at the last 3-4 months and the market almost went straight up. So there almost needs to be, what, like a natural correction? Or on the flip side, would you like to see almost a sideways consolidation move as well?
Yeah, that would be healthy. It all depends on what the indicators indicate, you know, what the broad market of stocks is going to do during such a correction. It might be, you know, that this is some type of a blow-off, and then we pull a U-turn and start heading down. It might be some sort of a sideways move like we saw last summer, a consolidation, a continuation pattern ahead of another move upward. So we don't have any idea what that's going to bring. All we know is what's going on now, and what that indicates for our current positioning. So I would say there are some red flags starting to creep up. We've seen, obviously, the broad market as measured by the value line geometric composite, which measures the median stock in the market. It's still well below its 2018 highs. The Russell 2000 small cap index still well below the 2000 highs. We're seeing one of our ancillary risk barometers. We don't, it doesn't lead in feed into our model at all, but it's a small cap pure value index, which typically leads in a real risk on move to the upside and leads the market lower in a risk off move. And interestingly, in the last 2 days, today and yesterday, as the market's been ripping, it's down by a total of about 3%. So interesting move there. January can bring some interesting, like kind of contrary type market moves like that. So I don't know if that's something to extrapolate going forward, but it is. We're starting to see a couple red flags pop up here and there that certainly have our attention and have us maybe, again, a little bit less bullish with reckless abandon like we were in the fourth quarter.
Okay, so maybe a bit more of a cautious bull, let's say. But you know what? That risk model is fading a little bit. Let's talk about some other sectors, starting off with the precious metals. You and I were talking off mic, and I found your comments on how you're trading the precious metals very interesting, because over the last few months, you have been bullish on the metals, buying metals and the ETFs, and seeing some nice profits. But what's your trade now for precious metals?
Basically, our philosophy is usually if we're long something, then we don't like setting targets. You know, we like to let them run as long as they're going to run and not limit ourselves, not limit the potential. Commodities are a little bit different because they're so cyclical and they're so they're somewhat constrained price-wise, whereas, you know, a stock could go to infinity or what have you. So, we are more apt to, at times, at least take profits at what we think is key resistance, even if we're in the midst of a pretty strong bull move. So, as you mentioned, we have been very bullish on precious metals for better part of the last 6-7 months.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up there, Dana. Always great having you on the show, and I really do appreciate how you try to filter through all the noise and let the charts and some of your internal models tell you where markets are going to move, and your history over there, especially the last couple months, has been spot on. So I appreciate you sharing your trading strategies with us on a regular basis. Dana, thanks for your time this weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks for having me on.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The same day that the U.S. killed Qasem Soleimani in Iraq, U.S. forces carried out another top-secret mission in Yemen, trying unsuccessfully to kill a second key figure of Iran's Revolutionary Guard. The president on Fox News discussed details about the threats he says prompted the strikes.
We will tell you that probably it was going to be the embassy in Baghdad. I can reveal that I believe it would have been four embassies.
Iran has stopped denying and finally admitted it shot down Ukrainian Flight 752. Iran's foreign minister, Javad Zarif, says human error at the time of crisis caused by U.S. adventurism led to the disaster. A military statement from Iran says the 737 was mistaken for a hostile target. Iran says those responsible will be prosecuted. This is USA Radio News.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians or public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am chatting in this segment with Mark Chandler. He's the managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex. Now, Mark, keeping with the trend of this weekend show, trying to look at and make sense of some of these market moves almost outside of the geopolitical tensions. You and I were chatting off mic, though, and you were bringing up some, I think, pretty interesting facts or stats on how the market reacted on the back of these geopolitical instances. So even though we had what seemed like, again, a very kind of short-term reaction and volatility on the back of the tensions between Iran and the U.S., there were some noteworthy things that happened within markets that I think, besides the geopolitical moves, tend to lead to a bigger picture here. Can you please recap kind of the market reaction? What happened in terms of this geopolitical tension and why the markets reacted the way they did?
Yeah, sure. So maybe it's just like a question of experience and seeing the markets every so often go through this. You know, many of my friends who trade in markets and are investors and asset managers, they were either trained in economics as undergraduates, they did an MBA, or they went to the old school of hard knocks and learned on the job. They think they understand economics, but they really have a blind eye towards politics. And so I think the markets often overreact to geopolitical developments. And it's almost like classic what happened in the past few days. How did the markets respond to a, it's almost like a spasm. It's like there's a low ebb. In my work, I sort of compare it to that echo of the Big Bang that scientists can detect. In the markets, there's always this low ebb of geopolitics. But when it erupts, the market like has a spasm, like a muscle spasm. And the spasm does a couple of things. Typically, buy gold. Typically, sell stocks. Typically, sell emerging markets and risk. And the foreign exchange market, typically, it is to buy the yen. And there's a long debate about why would one buy the yen on a safe haven? What's really going on? Now, the Japanese have debt to GDP is over 200%. They have a weak economy, negative interest rates. So why does the yen in the foreign exchange market typically go up? Well, for two reasons. One, I think, is the underlying signals is that a lot of asset managers, leveraged fund managers, use the yen as a funding currency. In effect, what they do is they borrow the yen, sell it. And by borrowing the yen, they're responsible for that interest rate, which has been low for a generation. They borrow the yen, paying zero or less, sell the yen that they just borrowed, and buy some other higher, high-yielding or more volatile asset. And so when things go south, bad things happen, geopolitical tensions rise, people, these managers, have to get out of these positions. They buy back their short yen, and they sell that risk asset. But this is such an obvious pattern that there's an echo chamber on top of that. Short-term speculators might say bad political news. I will think that other people will be buying the yen, so let me buy it in front of them. Remember, Keynes' idea of the markets is a beauty contest. That's not to pick who we think is the most beautiful, but to pick who everybody else is going to think is the most beautiful. And in the geopolitic reaction of the markets, it doesn't last long. And so two ways to play it, I think. One is to go with the move. Geopolitical tensions go up, go with the move. But we have to be quick and nimble. On the other hand, the other way I see people play it, and I think that's what's happening again this time, is to, in effect, fade the move. The dollar yen got down to like 107.95 or something like that, 107.65, and then it rallied right back. Gold, it was an amazing move for gold, which had been moving higher in any event. And then on the geopolitical news, just exploded higher, went to about $1,611 from, say, the previous day down at about $1,550. I mean, rallying $60 on its geopolitical news, and then has reversed so sharply and actually made new lows for the week. So we see these reversals, and it's really two different ways to play these, and it depends, of course, on what your underlying view of the market is. I happen to still be bullish gold, thinking that gold's on its way to $1,700 an ounce or so. And so I think that the setback is a new interesting opportunity where we held some important support levels. Same thing on dollar yen, where we rallied to test what was the upper end of the recent trading range. And there, 109.70, 200-day moving averages there. And we stalled right ahead of the U.S. jobs data. So I'm not convinced that I'm still in the camp that's sort of wondering, skeptical about dollar strength, more inclined still to sell into these dollar rallies.
Okay, that's interesting. So one side, the gold trade, you're still bullish there, even though this has been a pretty quick reversal, but as you said, still holding some key levels. The dollar trade, you and I have talked about that over the last few months and how you think that dollar could be generally rolling over. But what about U.S. markets? Following up on my first two conversations on this weekend show, it does still seem like that buy-the-dip mentality is very prevalent. I think it was very noteworthy to see the markets not just fall out of bed, even if it was just for one or two days, they garnered a buy almost every day throughout the day.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, the S&P finishing the week near new record highs. European, you look at the Dow Jones Stock 600, that's at record highs. Then MSCI Asia Pacific, that index to capture that region has been up for like 6 weeks in a row. So, yeah, I think that, once again, investors have been rewarded by buying pullbacks. And even on ahead of the weekend, the U.S. had reported a relatively disappointing jobs growth number, softer earnings. And even that, the prospect of maybe a weaker U.S. economy as I suspect, but the stock market still is able to rally on that. So I am cautious though up here. I think that almost any measure of valuation, PE ratios, sentiment, all these things seem to be so extreme. And I think it's like maybe it's a function of age too, where if I was in the beginning of my career, maybe I would shrug that this overextended nature of the market off right now. But I think the risk reward, I just don't see how the risk reward favors being very aggressive up here. But I know a lot of people are afraid of missing the boat. But so I wonder then whether the kind of market we're in then, it might not be buying the indexes, but trying to pick some stocks that might have sort of greater staying power that gives you some upside, but maybe limited downside.
So then is it fair to say, kind of in summary, that the world generally is still stuck in a slower growth and even declining growth area, with the U.S. still being generally better than the rest of the world, but on the central bank side of things, central banks are still easy with their monetary policy, and that should continue throughout this year. Is that kind of a general summary, could you say?
Yeah, I do think that the central banks interest rates stay low. I can't imagine really a major central bank raising rates. I think everybody's cutting if they're going to do anything. But I think for me what the important thing is, isn't just that the U.S. is growing faster than the Eurozone, but it's really how big that gap is. And I'm afraid that this year, that is 2020, the gap will be smaller than last year. The U.S. economy might be slowing down a little bit more than other major economies. Now, Japan's going to take the hit now. Europe took a hit really last year when Germany reported a contracting GDP figure. So I'm thinking that rather than divergence, that's right, I think we get a little wave of this convergence.
Okay. Hey, that's interesting. We're going to wrap it up there. A lot to take in, but I think very important to understand the trend in the data and still just how much power central banks have in trying to keep the markets moving forward. And you know what? These markets still, the biggest takeaway I had from the first week and a half or 2 weeks of trading here is simply that buy the dip mentality is still very prevalent for these markets. But hey, Mark, it's great chatting with you. I appreciate all the time you spend with us. I look forward to chatting with you throughout the rest of this year. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Good luck to everybody.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up this first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody has enjoyed so far those three conversations that I have had, trying to look a little bit past the geopolitical tensions that caused that volatility, but also understanding what that volatility meant in terms of traders' attitudes as we start off this year. I'm wrapping up the show with Trader Vic Sparandio. And Trader Vic, before we get into any specifics in terms of maybe dedicated drivers for this year, I want to get just your general outlook for U.S. markets and the U.S. economy in 2020. Please, Trader Vic, share what your thoughts are.
All right. With the Fed putting in a tremendous amount of liquidity, I would call it QE4, with that and the positive first phase of the trade deal, the fact that it's an election year. So you have to think that the weakness in the economy, which came from the Fed's reduction of their balance sheet last year and the year before, starting in the year before, and then occurring, you know, meaning last year reducing their balance sheet, then turning it around in the beginning of September, that you're going to get some better economic news, because there's always a lag. How long that leg is debatable, but you'll see, I believe, some strength in the beginning of the year until June. The Fed then is obviously going to stay out of the picture, as they usually do when there's an election, and everybody will be focused on that election. It'll drive you bats because it's going to be, you know, constant. But from June on, so I look for the market to be up and then slightly turn down, and be up a little, nothing like last year in the first half, and then be kind of flattish coming into the election. Trump is supposed to win. I think he's going to win, all things being equal, but there's a long time between now and then, so that can change depending on if he does something, you know, that is going to be looked at as bad. But the theme then becomes lower dollar, because you're not going to get anything through Congress, so that's one way to stimulate and get earnings back. But I don't look for a crash in the dollar. I look for an erosion. And then I see inflation being hotter for the same for the converse reason. The Fed wants higher inflation. So that's kind of a given in my view. You're going to see the commodities do a little better this year because of that mix. Bonds are just going to trend across the page, draw a line, if you want to call it that, because, again, the Fed's not going to raise rates. They're not going to lower rates. So you're basically going to see bonds go across the page. There will be some good news, in my view, on the economy that comes in the first half. So bonds go down a little, but then before the election, I think bonds stabilize and go up a little. So we're really not talking about it. I'm not looking for any volatility in bonds, long bonds, 10 years. So those are my general beginning of the year themes. They could, of course, change depending. But that's when I'm, of course, I'm a bull on gold. I've been a bull on gold for a long time. I'm an investor. I'm not a trader in gold and silver. So I look for gold to approach 1750 by the end of the year, maybe more. And I think a lot of that is going to have to do with the global economy, not the United States, meaning pushing gold up.
Okay, how about trade, too? If you think that the Fed is going to largely stay out of the markets, at least for the first half, however, probably still expanding their balance sheet through that new QE program, how does trade play its role this year?
I think you've got phase one is going to be signed. I think that China is weak. So if it was strong, it would not make any deals trying to get rid of Trump. But I think they have to play the game, but it's going to be slow and sure and somewhat positive. So in other words, the wording, the talk will be somewhat positive, at least for the first half. Okay, for the first half, because again, China can't afford to effectively make a mistake and have people pulling investments out of China and going to Vietnam, you know, meaning manufacturing investments. So I think they're just going to play it by ear for the first half. If they want to make a play against Trump, it'll be in the second half.
So a bit of calm then in this first half. Do you see, circling back to the Fed, though, and that QE program, is that simply what can support markets for a prolonged period of time? This run has already been so strong ever since Q4 of last year that I think a lot of people are waiting for some sort of a correction, but we didn't see it to kick off this year.
Yes, it absolutely can. They're putting in like $100 billion a month. I mean, it's just bigger than any of the other QEs. Now, the only key there is, remember, it's short-term, meaning it's T-bill kind of repos or T-bill kind of money, short-term rather than coupons, which is the reason that Fed claims it's not calling it QE, even though it is. It's stimulating the economy. So that's going to help. And see, here comes the reverse. You know, right now you've got horrible earnings in aggregate, right? So that's going to reverse. You've got a strong market, weak fundamentals. The GDP is going to come in around 2 for this quarter, the past quarter. So you're going to sort of see a reverse. You're going to see the economy starting to pick up a little because of the positive trade talks. Manufacturing is down and everything else is down because of the China deal. Now, that's all going to reverse. So you're going to see investments pick up. You're going to, you'll see manufacturing pick up. Meanwhile, you'll see the market discounting all this and selling off a little. That's my theme is, as the economy does a little better, the equity markets do a little worse. And that applies to trade and the Fed.
Okay, that's interesting. And then you even said U.S. dollar moving down and inflation perking up. Do you see inflation moving significantly higher, or is it just this general trend of slightly higher inflation?
Well, listen, here's a general theme I leave your audience. I believe nothing the government reports. Nothing. I mean, zero confidence in what they say. So when they say inflation is 2%, the Chapman Index, which I've written about, is a computation of 500 products in 50 different major cities. And the inflation rates run from 6.6 on average for the last 5 years to 11+%. 13, I think, is the high. The key here is that it's the measurement, how they report inflation, that makes it look so low, coupled with the fact they pay banks not to loan money. If you're a small business and you try to get a loan, it's hard. It's really hard. And there's reports on this. You can read about it. So that's why velocity is so low. They'll give you all the credit card debt you want because it's 17%. But if you want to make a business loan and, you know, pay 5 or 6, or then they'd rather get, you know, one and three quarters ish, and have no risk and not give you the loan, because that's where they keep the excess reserves. So the bottom line is, yes, inflation will be moving up, but when you look at what the Fed or the BLS reports, you can't trust that number. It's just generally you got to have your own feel to this, because they don't tell you the truth. They tell you whatever they want.
All right, Trader Vic, we're going to wrap it up. It's great having you on the show. I appreciate you spending some time with us this weekend. And if anybody missed that post that I made on Friday where Trader Vic shared an article that he just recently wrote that did a great job of looking ahead but also looking back and assessing where the U.S. stands in terms of politics, in terms of economics, and even in terms of capital. So I found that article very interesting. I recommend everybody taking a read over that after you've listened to this weekend's show. It's great having all of you listening in. I hope everybody is having a great start to 2020. It's been an interesting start already, and I look forward to following up with all of our guests and with all of our listeners. All of you guys, please keep the emails coming, fleck@kereport.com. Trader Vic, thank you so much for your time this weekend.
Okay, my pleasure. Have a good weekend, Corey. Thank you all.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Extend your life with Extendivite
really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendivite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Well, of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.